to be back with you again today. It's great to be together to worship God, isn't it? Amen. It's good to have our visitors with us. We are very glad to have you here with us today. We began last Sunday a study on heaven in the real world. And so we're going to continue this study for several weeks. But what we did last time, as we began the study, we talked about heaven's priority. And one of the things that we learned is that heaven's priority is us, right? You are at the top of God's priority list, okay? And so this morning, as we continue with this study, what we're going to do is talk about heaven's provision. What has heaven provided to us since we are heaven's priority? Okay, so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, before we do that, let me tell you about our movie today at 5 o'clock here at the building, God's Not Dead. Now, this is a movie that I was telling you all about about a couple of months ago when this came out. I urged you to go and see it, and a lot of you didn't go because I asked you. And you haven't seen this movie, a lot of you haven't seen it yet. You have an opportunity to see it free of charge tonight. 5 o'clock here at the building. I really, really want to encourage you to come back and take the opportunity to see this. All right, so that's what we're going to be doing then. Let's talk about, and what we've been doing is we began this study. We're looking at living the power of heaven in our daily lives. Okay, one of the things that we focused on with this is we began last week talking about the fact that God's promises that He made to us in His Word are not just for heaven. They're not just for once we die and we leave this world, but those promises are for now. Heaven's power is for us now. And so what we're talking about is living in God's power in this life. Okay? Now, what we want to realize, and again, as we go through this whole study, to be reminded of, that this study is really all about, first of all, surrendering. Okay? It's surrendering our lives to Jesus so that we can live daily in His power. Okay? That's what it's all about. Again, we don't have to wait until we die from this life to get to heaven. We live under the power of heaven today. Okay, so this morning, as we talk about heaven's provision, we're going to talk about how many times do we need to forgive. Okay, many years ago, I had the occasion to be at the deathbed of a sister in Christ, and she had been a Christian for most of her life, and at that time, I think she was in her late 80s, and she was dying. And so I sat there literally beside her bed talking with her. And she expressed something to me at that time that really just kind of, it took me back for a moment. And here this sister in Christ, who had been a very faithful woman, she said to me, "Russ, I'm scared to die." Now that wasn't that big of a deal to me. I mean, I think most people were kind of scared to die. But what she said next, she said, "I'm afraid that God hasn't forgiven me of all my sins." She confessed that there were some things in her life that she had done that she felt at that time that maybe they were too big for God to really forgive. And that's where her fear of dying was. Not from the physical death, but fear that once she had to go and face God, then He was going to hold those sins against her. That did He really forgive her? So on her deathbed, she was worried about that. And I did my very best to try to help her to understand. She asked God to forgive her. He already has. There's nothing too big that God can't forgive. You see, the problem is that she had not understood heaven's provision of pardon.
And that's what this study is all about. Heaven's provision is a provision. What heaven provides to us is a pardon for our sins. In Matthew chapter 18, in the text that Roger read for us when we began this morning, Peter asked Jesus this question. Okay? Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Okay? Now, understand that the Israelites at that time, their understanding of the rule was three times you had to forgive. And that understanding came from a passage in Job, Job 33, verse 29, where it says to us, God does all these things to a man, twice, even three times. Why does he do that? To turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of the life may shine on him. So, in other words, they kind of looked at it as God is willing to forgive someone three times, so that's how many times we need to forgive people. Well, first of all, that is a total misunderstanding of that passage, okay, from Job. But that's kind of where that thinking came from. I have to forgive someone three times because that's all God's going to forgive them for, you see. So as long as I forgive them three times, the fourth time I don't have to forgive them anymore. Now, Peter, you see, in his question, he felt like that he was willing to do even more than the three times. He was willing to more than double that, you see. I'll go to seven times. That was pretty generous of him, wasn't it? You see? At least he probably felt that way. But Jesus responded to him and said, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, you need to understand, when Jesus said 77 times, he wasn't saying that on the 78th time you don't have to forgive anymore. You see? So it's not a matter of keeping count going, hey, 76, only got one more time that I have to forgive. That wasn't his point. You see, when Jesus uses that number, 77, or in some of your translations, it literally it says 70 times seven times, okay? But what that means is that it's always. No matter how many times your brother sins, you forgive him. So there, it's not about the numbers. Seven, in biblical terms, it's considered to be a perfect number. And every time you add another seven, that makes it even more complete, you see, or perfect. So Jesus saying 77 times is basically, there's no limit to the number of times you forgive. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that the passage in Job is not what those folks really thought that it was. Because what's the limit that you would like to put on God's forgiveness of you? You see, in other words, how would you feel if God, you know, when you went to him and said, you know, Lord, please forgive me, and he goes, what, you want me to forgive you again? Do you know how many times I've forgiven you? And I'm glad that, you know, he's willing to go past the 77 times, literally, with me. I don't know about you. Okay? But you know, 77 for me came long time ago. So I don't want to put a number on God's forgiveness of me. And he doesn't want us to put a number on that forgiveness with one another. See? So it's unlimited amount of forgiveness. Heaven's provision is all about pardon. See? And Jesus follows up that statement that he made to Peter about the 77 times, or 70 times seven times. He follows that up with the parable of the unmerciful servant. Okay? Now, basically in this parable, what happens is a king decides to call, you know, people in to give an accounting and to pay their debts up to him. Say, you know, look, you know, I need to find out, I need to get, you know, debts paid from people that owe me. And so he calls in this one servant, and he tells him he needs to pay his debt. And the servant doesn't have the money, he can't pay it back. And Jesus says that this particular servant owed the king 10,000 talents. So we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But he says he owes him 10,000 talents,
And the servant falls on his feet before the king. He says, please give me more time and I'll pay you back. And the king forgives the man's debt.
Amen.
He wipes it away. And sends him on his way. Well, the servant goes out and he runs into a fellow servant who owes him just a minute amount. He demands that he pay him, and that fellow servant asks him the same thing. Please, give me more time and I'll pay you back. And this servant would have nothing of that. He has him thrown in jail. And some of the other servants saw what was going on and they reported back to the king. And so the king has this man brought back in. Holds him accountable. I gave you a pardon. Why not do that for your fellow servant? And he has the servant thrown in jail until he can pay the debt back. So Jesus tells his parable, what do we need to gain from this? What do we need to take away from heaven's message, you say, of heaven's provision for us, that provision being pardon? It tells us about, and Jesus talking about this parable, tells us about the message that God has for us about forgiveness. And Jesus puts it this way. He talks about the kingdom of heaven. And he begins the parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. You say, who called his servants to account. And so basically what we get from this story is that he's telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like regarding sin. That's the message from heaven that he wants us to understand. And there are four keys that I want you to focus on from this story. Four keys that we need to learn from this. The first one is that sin does not go unnoticed. Okay? We need to understand that. We need to recognize sin does not go unnoticed. Okay? In Romans chapter 14, Paul there tells us that every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. We're all going to have to give an accounting of ourselves. You say? Over in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us this, where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us, okay, it's not a group thing, okay? You need to understand, it's not a group thing. We don't get to kind of go in with a bunch of folks and kind of hide in the background. No, each one of us, you say, we may receive what is due for the deeds we've done in our body, whether good or bad. Okay? And then in Hebrews chapter 9, the writer there tells us, it's appointed unto men once to die. You only die one time. And after that, we face the judgment. So you see, there will be an accounting. Sin does not go unnoticed. And we're going to all have to account for our lives before God. We're going to have to stand before the king. Okay? To give account for our sin. The second key. The debt that we owe is beyond payment. Okay? It is too heavy of a debt. There is absolutely no way that you or I or anyone can pay the debt that we owe to God. The 10,000 talents, that figure that Jesus used, was basically equal to a common worker of that day, 20 years' salary. Okay? That's how much he owed. In today's value, take whatever your salary is, okay, and figure out what it would actually be for you. But just using this figure, $15 an hour for, you know, a worker today, 40 hours a week, $600 a week, times 52, $31,200 a year, times 20 years, $624,000. Anybody got that kind of change laying around? And again, you know, just take whatever your salary is and use those numbers to figure out you know, for you, what monetarily what that debt might equal. I don't know about you, but you know, y'all have enough, my pay enough where I have that kind of money hanging around where I can, you know, just write a check, right? See? In other words, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. All right? And that was Jesus' point. He used a number that was so big, so huge, that it showed the inability to repay that debt. Okay? Number three, key number three is pardon. Okay? We have to have pardon. It is our only hope. For without pardon, then hell is our future. That's what we have to look forward to. If we don't receive a pardon, because the debt that we owe is so enormous and we can't pay it off, if we don't receive a pardon, in other words, that debt is just erased and no longer held against us, then the only alternative is hell. Because you can't spend eternity with God still carrying all the debt. You say? So that's the only alternative there is. There's nothing you can do to overcome that debt. Here's an important part. Don't miss this. Okay? Why did the king forgive the debt of this servant? Because the servant was more important to the king than what he owed. Let that sink in for just a moment. The servant was more important to the king than what he owed. You are God's servant. And you are more important to him than what you owe. Isn't that great news? Mm-hmm. You say, great news. Key number four. We must choose to receive a pardon. You've got to ask for it. Okay? Notice in this story here, okay, something that's happening. What takes place here, what Jesus emphasized, the servant doesn't ask for forgiveness of his debt. Okay? What does he ask for? More time. Please give me more time so that I can pay the debt what I owe. And the problem with that kind of thinking that so many people get locked into even today, is that what it does is it cheapens the grace. You see, please give me more time, as if that's really going to help. It didn't matter how much more time that he would have had, he still would not have been able to pay off that debt. And so, from his perspective, the servant's perspective, he's looking at it and saying, look, I don't need mercy, I don't need your grace, I just need more time. Say that to God. And that cheapened the grace that the king was willing to give to him. So you see, when we kind of get locked into this idea that we can somehow work a little bit harder at being a good Christian and earn our salvation, it cheapens God's grace. And it takes the power away from his grace and the power of the pardon and in the mercy that he gives, and it puts it all on us and it says, I can do this. And what God wants us to know and understand is, no, you can't. No, you can't. It's 10,000 talents. You can't pay that back. It doesn't matter how much more time you get. You got to let that sink in. Because otherwise, you never really understand the power of a pardon. You see, one of the things you have to realize is a pardon is given to someone who is guilty. All right? That's not the same thing as someone being tried and found not guilty. Okay? You don't get a pardon, you just get not guilty and you're free. You say, well, I don't know about anybody else in here, but I'm guilty.
Amen.
Okay? I'm guilty. I need a pardon for my sins because I can't pay them back. So you have to understand, you know, what that really means, what a pardon is really all about. Because if you don't really understand it, then you're never going to appreciate the grace that acquire and achieve that pardon on your behalf. You'll just continue going on thinking that you can do enough good things and somehow, some way, if you get enough good things, you know, stacked up there, it'll tip the scales in your favor. And hopefully you'll die while the scales are tipped in your favor so you get to sneak in to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. But we need not to cheapen the gift of grace that God has given us. You see, as we talked about last week, heaven's priority, and we said heaven's priority is us, okay? And that desire that God has for intimacy with us is the motivation, okay? That's what motivated God to pardon us. Remember we said a few moments ago, the servant was more valuable to him than the debt. It's all about the relationship with God. I want a pardon. But it is ours for the taking, for the asking. You see, you need to, and I need to ask for a pardon, not more time. More time is not going to do you any good. The only thing that having more time in this life will do is perhaps get you to enjoy this life a little bit more. Maybe even get further into debt. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, okay? So more time is not the issue. A pardon is what we need. And then we need to pass that pardon on to other people. We need to pass on heaven's provision. In other words, God gave us that provision of pardon, and He wants us to pass it on to others. In other words, our pardon is conditioned on us being willing to pardon others. Okay? If you don't forgive other people of their sins, then you will not be forgiven of yours. The servant, the pardoned servant, went out, as it says, and you read the story, he goes out and he finds the stolen servant, and he refuses to forgive him, and that refusal to pardon him cost him his pardon.
Okay.
Here's something you got to keep in mind. Notice that this servant, when the king called him back in again, okay, he was thrown into jail for how long? Until he paid his debt back. Now, we already said that that was impossible, right? Okay? So, he would be jailed for eternity. Because he had a debt that was impossible for him to pay, and he was going to be in jail until he paid it back. So he's going to be in jail for eternity. That's the message that Jesus wanted us to take away from him. If we refuse to pardon one another, then our pardon will be revoked. You say, and we will spend eternity where we can never pay that debt back. Yeah. We need to pass on heaven's provision to someone else that needs that from us. Okay? So I want you to think about that. Is there someone in your life, someone that has sinned against you, someone that has hurt you, and even perhaps Someone who has hurt you in some way that you look at and say, that is just, it's too much. It's too horrible. There's what they did, you'll never understand. It hurt me so deeply. You need to forgive them. There's no way that whatever they did to you can even begin to measure up to what you have done against God. So you need to forgive them. Give them a pardon. It's not an issue of whether they're guilty or not. You say, that's not a part of the debate. They sinned. They hurt you. Give them a pardon. The same way that God provides that to you. It's all about the gift of forgiveness. That's heaven's provision to us. You are so valuable to God that He chooses to give you a pardon, to forgive your sin. You say, because what you owe Him, you say, doesn't come anywhere close to how valuable you are to Him. He's willing to count that as a loss. So much so that, as we said last week, He paid everything that He had to buy you back as that pearl of great price by the blood of His Son, Jesus. That was His priority. I want you to think about, while we're singing our invitation songs at the moment, I want you to think about your debt that you owe to God. How much is it? Think about the fact that it doesn't matter how much it is, you can't pay it back. And if you need to, if you haven't done it already, will you ask for and seek a pardon from God? And secondly, is there someone in your life that you need to give a pardon to? Someone that has hurt you in some way. Someone that has sinned against you. That you need a pardon for their sin. Because if you don't do that, then there's no point in even asking God for a pardon on your behalf. But that's what this is all about this morning. Receiving heaven's provision. Provision of pardon for the debt that we owe to God. Because He loves you. If you're already a Christian, then there's something in your life you've got to get rid of. You've got to take care of it. Let's get rid of it this morning. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, then you're still lost in your sins. And you will remain that way until you ask for a pardon. You can do that this morning. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess Him as such. Confess Him as your Lord. Repent of that sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. Become His child. You want to do it. Because that's what we're here for. To help you to receive heaven's provision. Let's stand.